Again, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. This is the word of the Lord. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and it is the holy, inspired word of God. And he, being Jesus, said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come." This is God's holy word. If you would please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your precious gift to us. That it is living and speaks to us even today. So, Father, may by your Holy Spirit, may we hear directly from you. And as always, Father, I just pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, that you convict us, that you encourage us by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we come to one of what I believe is the most encouraging parables Jesus ever told. And it's encouraging for one simple, very simple reason. It takes the pressure off of us. There's no pressure. You see, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably felt the weight at some point in your Christian life, haven't you? That responsibility to share your faith. The responsibility to see people come to Christ. The responsibility to make the gospel clear, to somehow, as you're talking about God's word and teaching the gospel, that you got to make it compelling enough for the person to hear. And that weight, it can be crushing, can it? Because we know our limitations. We know how inadequate we are. We know how easy it is to stumble over our words, to forget key verses, how we fail to have just that perfect answer to answer one of their objections about some obscure passage that they have to bring up. But this parable, it's a beautiful, liberating parable. It reminds us of something that we so desperately need to hear. And it's this. Salvation is God's work. It's not ours. Let me say that again. Salvation is God's work. It's not ours. Yes, this parable is about the kingdom of God. There's no doubt. Yes, it is about evangelism. No doubt. It's about sharing the gospel message that Jesus started talking about back in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. That the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. But here's what Jesus wants you to understand. He wants you to understand through this passage that kingdom of God, it is one thing only. It's dependent upon God's ability and power and not ours. And this morning, Jesus is going to reveal this truth in three movements, three points in this passage. We're going to look at the power of the seed is dependent on God's sovereignty. The growth of the seed is dependent on God's sovereignty. And the harvest of the seed is dependent on God's sovereignty. So the power of the seed, the growth of the seed, and the harvest of the seed. So first, let's start off with the power of the seed. It is dependent on God's sovereignty. Well, Jesus begins this parable the same way he begins the other parable, the soils, with the farmer scattering the seeds. And of course, this would have been just a very common occurrence. And you see this in everyday life back in the first century. But notice what Jesus is teaching in this parable. The farmer. That's every single disciple of Jesus Christ. That represents every single one. If you've put your faith in Christ, you are this farmer. You've been given a commission, a calling, a privilege that comes directly from Jesus himself. Now, I remember the day I realized I was this farmer. I had just come to faith in Jesus Christ. This was 20-some plus years ago, and I was working side by side with this young man named Tony. We worked together 10, 12 hours a day, side by side, and over time, I finally got up the courage to tell Tony about Jesus. And here's what you got to understand. I didn't know much. I was just a new Christian myself. Basically, the only thing I really knew was maybe, at best, half of it, John 3:16. But I'd been given something by God. I had the seed. I had the word of God. So I shared it. And the seed that we're called to scatter, well, remember, Jesus was very specific and told us back in verse 14 of chapter 4 that we looked at several weeks ago, the seed is that very word of God. The seed is the word. And it isn't just any word. This is the powerful, it's the living word of God. When God speaks, things change. Genesis 1, God spoke, and what happened? Creation came to being. You see, God's word doesn't just describe reality, it creates reality. God's word has power, it has creative power, it has living power. And that same creative power is the same word of God that you share. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword." You see, God's word, it's alive. It has power to cut through defenses. It has power to pierce the heart. It has power to literally bring dead things to life. And that's what makes this so encouraging this morning. You don't need to be a professional preacher. You don't need to have that seminary degree. You don't need to have evangelism 101 training and just have these eloquent words to say. You don't need any of that. I certainly didn't have any of that when I was talking to Tony. I can promise you, I stumbled through it. I probably messed up theology in many places. But you know what? Somehow, very feebly, I scattered the seed. That's all God asked me to do, was to scatter the seed. And that's all God is asking you to do, is to scatter the seed. It's powerful. It's His living word. And when you sit here and you think about it, just think about just the simple places that God has put you in, whether it's your neighborhoods or your workplaces or classroom or within your family. Scatter the seed there. And here's why this is so freeing. Here's the mystery that Jesus reveals to us in verse 27. I mean, look at it. Once you scatter the seed, your work is done. It's done. You get to go to sleep. Literally, you get to go to sleep. The farmer here, he plants the seed and he goes home and he sleeps. And what does he do? He gets up the next day and he goes about his normal life. So why is that? It's because he cannot make the seed grow. I couldn't make Tony come to faith. I couldn't argue him into the kingdom. I couldn't manipulate him into coming to salvation. All I could do was faithfully scatter the seed, scatter the word of God. Now hear me, you too can scatter that sheep seed and then go to sleep. You can rest. You can rest peacefully. You don't have to lie awake in bed thinking, gosh, did I say enough? God, I just wish I didn't say it that way. You don't have to think, you know, am I persuasive enough? No, beloved, you did your part and God will do His. God will do His. So when you scatter that word, when you scatter that seed, you can sleep well. Sleep well. It's not on you. The harvest isn't on your shoulders. So the second point is the growth now of that seed. The growth is dependent on God's sovereignty. If you look at verse 28, you see, when you, as a farmer, you just go plant the seed, it doesn't just sprout and then that's the end of it. No, it continues to what? It continues to grow and develop. This too is God's grace working within you. Look there. Look at the progression that Jesus describes. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And notice each phrase here. First, then, and then. See, this is progressive. It's a process that you go through every single stage. It matters. First, the blade, that tiny shoot that's breaking through the soil. That's the new life. That's conversion. Then the ear, that's where the real development happens. The plant maturing and it's growing stronger and stronger day by day. And finally, the full grain. Maturity, its fruitfulness. It's what God's been working toward all along, is to become more like Christ. But the blade, it's just the beginning. It's at that point, it's fragile, it's tender, it needs to grow. But you can't skip the stages. You can't rush the process. A farmer can't make that blade come to full grain overnight. He can't do it. And neither can you force spiritual maturity of your own. It takes time. It takes seasons. It takes God's patient and persistent work in your life. But notice the mystery again, what Jesus says in verse 27. The farmer sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. He knows not how. The farmer can't see what's actually happening beneath the soil. He can't see the roots pushing down deep into the earth. He can't watch that internal process that's transforming that seed into a plant. No, it's a mystery to him. And so it is with the work of God in your heart. You cannot make yourself grow spiritually. You can't will yourself into Christ-likeness. You can't manufacture up somehow the holiness. Just like the farmer, he can water the plant. He can protect it from weeds. He can create the best possible environment for it to grow in, but he can't make it grow. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. It's what we call our sanctification. It's only by God's grace that we've heard the Word of God, and when we've accepted the gospel message, and we receive Christ's perfect righteousness as our own. And it's only by God's grace that then, at that point, that's your justification, and now it's your sanctification where you continue to grow. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "And because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." You see, our sanctification is right there in that verse. Our growth in Christ, it's all because of God. Sanctification is where we, over time, become more and more and more like Christ. Where we grow in Christ-likeness, where we see God at work in us, causing us to hate sin more and more and more. Beloved, take comfort in this truth. If you're here this morning and you're frustrated maybe with your lack of spiritual growth, this should comfort you, but because you cannot make yourself grow. You can't do it. Only God can. And believe me, God will. This is deeply humbling and deeply comforting all at the same time. Humbling because all your effort, all your discipline, all your best intentions, they can't produce spiritual growth apart from God's grace. And yet it's comforting because the pressure's off of us. You're not responsible for making yourself grow. God is. Now, don't misunderstand me in this. Yes, God does all the work inwardly. He does it all inwardly, but He does it through means of grace. He does it through means. And what are the primary means? His Word. It's the seed. That's why when we open our Bibles, when we study the Scriptures, when we memorize verses, when we gather to hear, as we are right now, the preaching of God's Word, it's a means of grace. And we do that not because the reading itself is going to somehow make us become more Christ-like, but because God uses His Word as the very instrument for our sanctification, for our growth. Jesus specifically prayed. He said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify them in the truth. The word's the seed, remember? It's always God's living word, and the seed continues to work in you, and it's transforming you and renewing your mind and conforming you to the very image of Christ. And as you read it, it's living and it's true and it's perfect, and it's God by His Holy Spirit that lives in you, that's growing you, it's sanctifying you. Sanctifying you in the truth. So yes, read your Bibles, but know this. It's God working through His Word that changes you. It's not your discipline alone. Now this is also important. If you're here today and you're discouraged, maybe because you're not growing as fast as you want to, or you're falling constantly into the same sins, we need to listen to this parable. It is freeing. Growth is God's work. Somehow it's mysterious. It's gradual. It's progressive, but it is real. And to the person here this morning who feels like maybe you're failing constantly, that you're just not getting it, beloved, you are not disqualified. You're not. I mean, think of Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times, yet he is the rock. Think of the Apostle Paul. He says, "I am the chief of sinners." When did he say that? Before his conversion or after? After. So the question isn't, have I arrived? It's, am I moving forward toward Christ, however slowly it might be? But just like the power of the seed to come to life is mysterious, so too is the work of sanctification within us. It is God's grace. It's God who gives the growth. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning of verse 6, he says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth." So we have the power of the seed is dependent on God's sovereignty. The growth of the seed is dependent on God's sovereignty. And now we have our third and last. The harvest of the seed is dependent on God's sovereignty. Look at verse 29. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So the waiting is over. It's been months. The farmer planted his seed back in the spring, and he's waited, and he's watched, and he's probably watered, and so forth, taking care of the plants. And now, standing at the edge of the field, he sees that the grain is ripe. It's golden. It's ready. And Jesus says, at once. Immediately, the sickle comes out, and the harvest has come. And this is the picture that I want you to see. It's a picture of a day that's coming that is real, that is actual, that it is a specific day marked on God's eternal calendar. A day when Jesus will come back to this earth of ours. The prophet Joel himself saw it hundreds of years before Jesus came to us. Joel said and had a vision on this day where he heard the voice thunder from heaven and said, "Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe." The harvest has come. The waiting, it's finally over. The time is now. But let me take you past the cutting of this grain. Let me take you back forward to what happens next once the harvest has happened. Because this is where the story is very, very serious. So the grain, it's been cut, it's been brought to the threshing floor, and now it needs to be separated. And Jesus describes exactly what this looks like in Matthew 3, verse 12. He says his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. So picture the scene with me here. You got the threshing floor, and the farmer stands with his winnowing fork, and he throws the grain into the air. And as he throws it into the air for a moment, everything suspended at the peak is where he throws it up. But that's where the separation begins. The heavy wheat, the wheat that has substance, that has life, that it has value, it falls straight back down into a pile at the farmer's feet. And that light chaff, that little flaky stuff that comes off the wheat, it's empty, it's worthless. It catches the wind and it blows away. And the farmer, he does this again and again until the whole harvest is divided. Two piles, one worthless, one precious. Then he gathers the wheat carefully, protectively, lovingly, and he carries it into the barn. Into the barn where it's safe, where it's secure, where it's preserved for the future. And the chaff, he does the simple thing. He sweeps it up into a pile and he sets it on fire. Jesus says here it's an unquenchable fire. Unquenchable. Fire that never goes out. Never stops burning. Never consumes completely. But it never releases either. Jesus tells another version in Matthew 13, verse 30. He says this, "Let both the weed and the wheat grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Same field, same soil, same rain, all season long. The weeds, they're growing along with the wheat. They're both green, but the farmer knows. He's always has known the wheat was always the wheat and the weeds were always the weeds. And when the harvest comes, the truth is revealed, the separation, it happens, and it's final. The reapers go through the field and they gather the weeds first, binding them in bundles, tying them tight and stacking them up. Where they are set on fire. And then carefully they gather the wheat, every stalk, every head of grain. Nothing is lost. Nothing is forgotten. All of it's brought safely into the barn. Now we're going to fast forward to what this final day is actually going to look like. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 14. Of course, this is the Apostle John writing Revelation, and he's been given all these visions, and we come to chapter 14, and he's given a vision. He's given a glimpse of pulling back the curtain of time to so where he can see into the future. Revelation 14, beginning at verse 14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Here's John, he's looking up, he's looking into the sky, and there's a cloud. And seated on the cloud was one like a son of man. And of course, that's Jesus. The Son of Man, the one who once walked the dusty roads of Galilee, the one who was crucified on the Roman cross. But here he's not suffering anymore. For we're told he's with a golden crown on his head. He's the King. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And with him, he has a sharp sickle in his hand. Jesus is the harvester. He's the judge. He's the one with the sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud. A loud voice, it's urgent, it's commanding. This isn't a suggestion, it is a proclamation. And the angel says, put in your sickle and reap. For the hour to reap has come, for the harvest on the earth is fully ripe. The hour has come. Not tomorrow, not next week, not someday. Now, right now, the earth is ripe. Humanity has reached this moment of God's appointed time before the very foundation of the world. And then it goes on to say, so he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth. One swing. That's all it takes. And the earth was reaped. Done. It's finished. It's harvested. Separated. It is final. Do you understand what Jesus is saying in this parable? There's a day coming, a real day, a very specific day where there will be no more scattering of the seeds. There'll be no more coming in to worship, to hear the word preached. No more sermons, no more invitations, no more opportunities to hear the gospel and to respond. The sickle will swing. The harvest will be complete. The separation will be final. And on that day, every single person who's ever lived will be in one of two groups. The wheat, those who are believers in Christ, and those in whom the seed of God's word took root and grew and produced fruit. They'll be gathered to Christ. They'll be safe. They'll be secure forever in his presence. Eternal life, eternal joy, eternal glory. But then you have that other pile, the chaff. the weeds, those who have rejected Christ, those who have heard the gospel and have rejected it, those who have lived their whole lives without knowing Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And they'll be separated from God forever, thrown into the fire. Eternal separation, eternal suffering, eternal hell. There's two piles, two destinies. There is nothing in the middle, no middle ground at all. So as your pastor, I have to ask you this morning, which pile are you going to be in? Which one are you going to be in when that sickle swings for that final time? Are you going to be the wheat? Or are you going to be the chaff? Because hear me, the day is coming. There is a set appointed day where that sickle is going to swing. Jesus said, at once. It's without delay. It's without warning. The harvest has come. Are you ready? So this parable, it's a beautiful picture of God's grace. It's a beautiful picture of God keeping His promises and His word. And this is the hope we have in the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. God is in control, and one day all who believe in Christ will be harvested. Not just into a barn, but into glory, into heaven with the triune God for all eternity. But beloved, we can't be passive. We can't be passive. God never says to believers, hey, congratulations, you come to faith. I'm so glad that you've come to faith. Just sit back, take it easy. There's nothing for you to do. You don't find that in the Bible. What Jesus is telling us that we got to do is we're called to take our bag of seed, take the Bible, the Word of God, and scatter it. Scatter God's Word. We're to do this every day, day in and day out. But beloved, when you do it throughout the day, you get to go home and you get to go to sleep. There is no pressure. God will do the rest. Choked up already thinking about it. I'm so thankful. That I got to scatter the seed. To my coworker and friend, Tony. Again, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I just knew I was a new believer. I was on fire for God, for Christ. But I'm thankful that it wasn't up to me. It was up to what God did. Tony did come to faith in Jesus Christ. Over the next year, I saw him grow in just incredible ways. The Holy Spirit has worked within him. I mean, all of a sudden, he was bringing his Bible to work. He was taking his fiancée to church. He was on fire for Christ. I watched the blade appear. I watched the ear form. God was at work growing him. But it wouldn't last long. Tony didn't show up for work one day. By lunchtime, I received a call from his father. He lived over in Burlington and drove over for the day to take Tony to lunch, and he called me to see if I had seen Tony. And I told him no, that he didn't come in that morning. And I tried him a couple times, but he didn't answer his phone. About an hour later, I received a call from Tony's dad. He had the landlord open his apartment door for him where he found Tony dead on the floor. Tony, who had never had a seizure in his life, had a seizure that morning, getting ready for work, and passed away. Tony was just 21 years old. The harvest for Tony came sooner, so much sooner than anyone expected. But I have confidence, not anything that I did, because I promise you I didn't say it well at all. And I know it's not because of anything Tony did, because he was very far away from God. Because of what God did in him. It's because of what God did in him that when that sickle swung for Tony that day, he was the wheat, he wasn't the chaff. He was gathered into the barn. You know, when we think about people that we can share God's word with, so many times we think, well, there's tomorrow. I'll get to it next week. You just don't know. You just don't know when that day is going to come. Again, Tony was a healthy guy, never had a seizure in his life. It made no sense. You and I should desire to share God's word with fallen and broken people. But it's God, and it's God alone who stirs the heart. It's by God's grace that he works within us to believe and to continue to grow. And one day, one glorious day, where we'll be harvested into glory with the triune God for all eternity. And here's why this all matters, this beautiful parable. For those in Christ, the harvest is not something to fear. It's our hope. It's a day when all the struggling ends, when all the sin is finally gone, when we get to see Jesus face to face. We'll be in the new heavens and the new earth where we'll reign with him forever. So, dear friends, please scatter the seed. Trust God's sovereignty to work through the scattering of the seed, and look forward to that glorious harvest day when we will. It is a promise where we will see him face to face for eternity.